If you read and understand the instructions, your task is easier and the end result more clear. We have examined the first four commandments in some detail. Now let's take a look at the last six commandments. These are the instructions that were given to us, some guidance related to our relationship with mankind, family, friends, neighbors, and co-workers. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it reads, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you." And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, it likewise says, "Honor your father and your mother, as Yahweh your Elohim has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you." This fifth commandment is about family. Family is extremely important to Elohim. Notice that this commandment has a promise that if you honor your parents, your days will be long. In other words, you will live a long life. This particular instruction is a nice transition from those directions concerning our relationship with Yahweh and those concerning how we get along with each other. Here we're told to honor our father and mother, family. We are also to pray to our father, Avenu in Hebrew, in heaven, in the Shamayim. Likewise, in Matthew 6, we are told, when you pray, you are not to pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Goyim do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in the Shamayim in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You see, Yahweh desires that we regard our relationship with him as we regard our relationship as family or with our family. We are the children of Israel. That is, in Hebrew, the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel. And Israel is his bride. So you see, we really are family. And we are to respect and honor each other and Yahweh as family. And if we honor our spiritual father, our days will be prolonged into eternity. In Exodus 20, verse 13, it says, "You shall not murder." And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 17, likewise, it says, "You shall not murder." It's pretty straightforward. Hard to misunderstand. Some translations use the word kill instead of murder. The law differentiates between accidental killing from that of deliberate and premeditated murder and the required capital punishment for the latter. Notice that Yahshua amplified this commandment in his Sermon on the Mount, from the letter of the law to the spiritual intent, when he said, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable in the court.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." That's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 to 26. Obviously, the spiritual intent here is hatred. To the point of wanting to hurt somebody. The opposite of hate is love. And we, according to Matthew 19:19, are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 18, they both say, "You shall not commit adultery." Notice that Yahshua also amplified this commandment from the letter of the law to the spiritual intent when he said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you, for it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into the fire. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell." That's Matthew 5, 27 through 30. This commandment also protects the family. If you want to have a good relationship with your neighbor, then keep your hands off of your neighbor's wife. If you want to have a loving relationship with your wife, then keep your hands off of your neighbor's wife. And if you want a loving relationship with your Elohim, with Yahweh, then keep your hands and your mind off of those things that would interfere with your relationship with Yahweh. Typically, we can point to the obvious. We should not worship HaSatan and expect to have a relationship with Yahweh. But it's not only other Elohim. We are a people of tremendous ability and imagination. We can make a pocket God out of virtually anything. If we cherish or desire something, or we want something, or we long to be a part of something, if whatever that is gets between us and Yahweh, we have made an Elohim, a pocket God, that we have committed adultery against our Yah. Exodus 20:15 and Deuteronomy 5:19 both say, "You shall not steal." Again, pretty straightforward. Don't take what's not yours. The commandment would seem to relate to personal property. This car is mine. This car is not yours. It is illegal and a sin for you to steal my car. That's pretty straightforward. Right? If you borrow something from your neighbor, then return it. Not stealing is an issue of trust. Trust is an important part of our relationship with our neighbor. But we can steal more than stuff. If we kidnap somebody, we have stolen their relationship with others, their time, their ability to live a life that they chose. We have taken from them a cherished gift of choice. If we take advantage of someone for personal gain, at their expense, we have stolen from them by deceit. If we are not fair with everyone, if we are not equitable in our behavior to each other, have we not stolen something from them? This is a lesson in how we relate to our Elohim. We can keep for ourselves those things that are Yahweh's. In doing so, we have stolen from Him. We think He will never know. Or He has so much and we have so little. If we intend to steal from Yahweh, If we intend to steal any of the whole relationship that He desires with us, the only one that we have deceived, the only one that we've fooled, is ourselves. Exodus 20:16 and Deuteronomy 5:20 both say, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." The primary instruction here is that we are not to testify falsely against our neighbor in court. This is perjury. Could this be why a charge is to be brought by two or more witnesses? People will not trust someone who doesn't tell the truth. And mankind in general cannot be trusted. This is devastating to a relationship which requires truth and honesty. This does not only apply to the courtroom, We have an obligation as children of the Most High to speak only truth and provide only accurate information about our neighbors, to keep from gossip, slander, rumor, leading implications. Shaul counseled the believers at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12, starting with 19. All this time, you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of Elohim that we have been speaking in Messiah. And all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my Elohim may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced, bearing false witness can be destructive to others, to yourself, and may cause others to see Yahweh through a false lens. You may cause him to appear as someone else. Exodus 20:17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." And in Deuteronomy 5:21, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, or his male servant, or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Some people say that the 10th commandment is the one that is spiritually broken before breaking any of the other commandments. When we lust for something, then we steal it, or we take some other action. Covetousness is that thing that causes desire, doubt, uncertainty, pride, a whole multitude of emotions that well up inside of us. We want, we need, we have to have. We can't live without. I'm sure you've heard those coming from people. This instruction, this 10th commandment, this instruction from Yahweh, centers around self. The 10th commandment calls us to deal with our selfish motives. We certainly have legitimate needs and wants in this life. When is it that our desires become a problem? When do we need something so badly that it becomes a sin? Why is it wrong to want something You know, other people have nice things. Where does the sin begin? When we want something so badly that we are willing to cause harm to another to obtain it. When our desire has reached an obsession and we simply must have the object of our desire at any cost. When we have blinded ourselves to the instructions that Torah has provided in order to have that which we desire, that is the beginning of sin. And it will move like a steamroller, crushing everything in its path. When our desire clouds our vision of Yahweh, then we've gone too far. This commandment can start small and then continue to build. Therein is the danger. In conclusion, if you want to have a good relationship with Yahweh, Yahshua, family, friends and neighbors, follow the advice of John the Revelator. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold to the testimony of Yahshua. If you want to be a child of Yahweh, do what he says and follow his example. Hallelujah.